Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And last week, we did a really great show on, being able to be in a place of acceptance. And we had a wonderful guy, actually two wonderful guys, Miss Amy Frost, my regular co-host. Hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
There she is. There she is, Miss Amy. And we have Pastor. Master Mickey Wadd. He is back with us tonight. So Mickey was so great last week. We were really walking through just looking at being able to be in a place of acceptance. And we started talking a little bit about the grief process. And Mickey is just he's a great guide and gifted pastor who really helps people with the grief recovery program. And tonight we're really going to dedicate pretty much talking about grief and just different stuff. I'm excited because he's going to be talking about some subtle signs of grief that, how would I know? Or how would I know if a loved one is really going through grief? And we have this phenomenon that I hadn't even really thought about since if you actually go to our last episode, which was TC 329, and again, that's about the being able to be in a place of acceptance. Andrew found a really great article from Cosmopolitan on Cosmo about 14 signs of different things to be looking at with the post-election anxiety that happens every 4 years. And whether you were for the candidate or not, you still have these different senses of anticipation and just fear or happiness or whatever. It's these different emotions that they're just flowing through us. So Mickey, be our guide and help us to kind of understand some of this stuff about grief and just really being able to explore the recovery program and just how wonderful it is for being a tool for people. Mickey, are you
awesome.
There? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. All right. Well, first I want to actually just share just briefly my story, how I got involved with grief recovery. As a child, I went through some major abuse that left me hurt and left me angry. I was 5 years old and let me not trust people. And as I grew up, it got worse. My mother died when I was 12 years old. I came here in the United States from Africa, and my mother died at 12. So I got really angry. And by the time I was 16, 17, and 18, I was running around in L.A. with street gangs. By the time I was 21, I turned everything over. I went into my spiritual path. I got married at 25, and I've been married for 17 years. But the first couple years of our marriage, we were not doing too well. I was angry. I was jealous. I just didn't understand what was going on with my heart. I didn't trust. And there was nothing about my wife that I shouldn't have trust, but I was at that point where I was really, really hurting, and we were not doing well at all. And somebody suggested, why don't you take grief recovery? There's a program that was happening, and I said, there's nobody that died. I don't need it, and I think it's just weird for me to be in that class, but I think my wife needs it. So I was very humble. My wife needs it, and if she goes, then I guess I'll go. And I ended up going there, and I remember hearing this, what is grief? And I remember listening to the stories, and I just remember bawling my eyes out and going, whoa, this could actually fix this heart of mine, because I felt like I want to take my heart out and wash it with bleach and put it back, because I didn't know what was going on. After I completed the program, Robin and Amy, it really restored my marriage and also restored me as a person, and I healed some deep wounds from my past, and I was able to embrace life again. So that's my story. And then since I saw the deliverance and the freedom that I received from my past, not knowing really how my past affected my present, I ended up wanting to share this with everybody. So I got certified and I started helping people the same way I was helped. That's how I got to grief recovery. And then your question, it says, what is grief? What is grief recovery? Well, it's a program that that has been around for over 30 years. As a matter of fact, the founders are Russell Friedman and John James. They're here in LA, and they created this program. And you know, you have all kind of therapists, psychologists, and any kind of professional that go there to actually get this extra tool. It is a tool that you can use, and absolutely for the rest of your life. I've used it so many times. But let's define actually. So it's been around forever, and you know, when Michael Jackson died, or when the nation is going through some major grief, guess what? They call these guys and ask them to speak to the nation. So they're all over the world. It's amazing. What is grief? And I'm gonna first of all define grief. Grief is what we call grief in grief recovery. We call it grief is the normal and the natural reaction of any loss. So it's a normal, and it's the absolutely normal reaction. And grief is the conflicting feeling caused by and of a change in a similar pattern of behavior. I want you to think about this. Grief is the conflicting feelings caused by and or change a similar pattern of behavior. See, grief is normal and natural. It's a problem with our society is that we believe that feelings, the grief, is not normal. It's unnatural. And I'm going to talk about the myths of grief. But when you think about it, grief is changing a pattern, any kind of pattern of change. So that means that a job loss, that could create a grief. It's a conflicting feeling. You are used to being at work, and all of a sudden, you don't have a work. Trusting, like myself, trusting somebody, a loss of trust is a grief. You are trusting somebody, all of a sudden, a conflicting feelings happen, and you stop trusting. Moving is a grief. When you were in the neighborhood and you just changed, guess what? Changed neighborhoods. You lost, you moved, you lost some friends, you moved. Starting a school, death of a former spouse. Marriage is a grief. When you're single and you go for marriage, I'm not talking because it's a bad marriage. I'm just talking about it's different. It's any conflicting feelings caused by a change of a familiar pattern of behavior or an end. So the list goes on, and I don't have enough time, I guess, to go through all the lists, but even financial changes, that's when I financial changes, positive or negative. People say positive? Well, if I got a lot of money, if I get a lot of money, I should be okay with that. No. Actually, as a matter of fact, most lottery winners, they lose all their money after a while. They literally are grieving because you're used to having no money, and all of a sudden you get money and you grieve, or you have money and you lose money. So holidays are another one. We're coming up to the holidays here. And I will say election is a major grief. If you had a party that you wanted to win and you didn't, well, that'll trigger a lot of grief. And even just a change of presidency, that's a major grief. Changes that are happening in our nation, a lot of grief. So that is grief. What is recovery? Well, we call it grief recovery. Recovery, it means claiming your circumstances instead of your circumstance and claiming you and your happiness. Recovery means feeling better. And recovery is finding a new meaning of living without the fear and being hurt again. And really, recovery is being able to enjoy the fond memories of your past, the pain, without having this repeating painful feeling of regret and remorse. And recovery is acknowledged that it's perfectly all right for me, I got this, this was awesome, to feel sad from time to time and even to talk about it no matter who's around me and what's going on. And recovery is really being able to forgive others as well. And even if they don't understand or acknowledge, they have the knowledge of grieving. And recovery is one of the – it's just being able to talk about the loss that you've experienced and understanding that it's absolutely normal. And it's a skill set. So grief recovery gives you a skill set that I should have been taught this at school. And it allows us to really directly deal with the loss so we could just claim our life again and be able to love again. And that's what I was able to do in my marriage. And it's not just for marriage people. It's for all walks of life. So hopefully that kind of gives you a little gist of what grief recovery is. And I could go into the signs of recovery. Like if you want to find out, am I grieving right now? There are signs of that. So I don't know if you have any other questions. I didn't want to just talk, but I want to also talk.
No, yeah, let's go on to the, you know, what are these different signs that we, you know, I think that's a really an important thing for people to be able to have that to know.
Well, and I think you want to be looking for the signs, not just for yourself, but people around you. Right, so be alert for those that you care about, that you work with, that you live with.
Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
And One of the common sign of grief is, number one, is reduced concentration. Like, you forget where you are, or you go in the kitchen and you're trying to find something and you forget what it is. You're kind of like out of this world. You're daydreaming a lot. Another one is a sense of numbness. That could be physically, emotionally, or both. That's and it's us, this reaction, feeling numb, it's a reaction that's usually, you know, misled by denial. Well, he's not denial. No, he's just numb because he's grieving. Or disturbed sleep patterns. Now, you know, a lot of grievers, they reported that either they're not able to sleep or they're sleeping too much. That's one of the things. Are changing eating habits. Griever tells us that sometimes they have no appetite, or they eat nonstop. And, you know, all of a sudden they start to eat a lot. Or a roller coaster of emotional energy. You know, the griever, they talk about going up and down, like the feelings are up and down, and they go in and out of feeling, you know, highs and lows. And the grief, it's an emotional and a physical, they feel emotionally and physically drained. And all of these feelings, I just want to say this, it's this normal. These are normal, natural response to the loss, to any loss, that is. Because when we come from one of the rules, and I know, Amy, you know that, the rules of dysfunctional families is don't talk about it, don't feel it, and don't trust it.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you – and we also have myths, and I could go into that, the myths of what we've learned out there in our society and how to deal with the grief, which does not help us at all. You know, and I told you some of the griefs. It's not just death. It could be death of a loved one, death of a pet, moving, starting a school, death of a former spouse, marriage, graduation, end of the addiction, major health changes. The list goes on. But when you're grieving, there is so much. Our society is not well equipped to teach us on how to grieve. And there's about four or five myths that I could go over that in our society we've learned growing up that is not helpful. So I could go into that when you want me to, but if you have any questions or anything like that before I keep going.
No, keep going. Amy, do you have anything
okay.
you want to comment on?
Well, I think this what the Grief Recovery Handbook does is it flips everything upside down that we think we know about grief. And it isn't a function of, oh, you know, people always say, oh, with time, it'll heal. That's not true at all. And then with the grief recovery process, people can start that immediately after a loss, or things like they don't think about, like Mickey's doing a great job of all these things that causes grief, even promotions. Think about it, when you get promoted, you're now over people you might have been working with. And so
mm-hmm.
there's just all these different things that people need to, you know, that don't realize are grief. And I'm with Mickey. I would love to see kids being taught this from the very beginning, reading, writing, and grief recovery, because you're start losing or shifting, things start changing from the moment you get here. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
and so that's part of it. And I'd love to hear Mickey, you know, talk about those myths.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Amy. And I know, Amy, we're going to hear from you because you've experienced, you've went through the program, so it'll be great to hear from you in the end. I know that's going to happen. So, and the myths of grief recovery is some things out there that I've learned. Remember, I'm from Central Africa, the Congo, but I've learned these by behavior, not by words. But you might have heard these. There's about six of them. The number one thing that we hear, that we have heard down there about grief is don't feel bad. Don't feel bad, or replace the loss. Now, there's just a little story in a book, in the grief recovery book, talk about the little girl that goes to school and she's getting picked on. She comes home, she's crying, she tells mom, I'm crying because they picked on me at school. And mom says, looks, it could be mom or dad, says, don't feel bad, here is an ice cream. Automatically,
mm-hmm.
the little girl just heard two things. Number one, don't feel bad, so feeling bad is not good. Let's remove that. Replace the loss. That means that if I lost something, then I could replace it with some ice cream, food. Then later on, it could be anything. It could even be drugs. It doesn't matter. Anything to replace the loss. So one of the myths that we have is don't feel bad. Number two is replace the loss. And I've done that. I've replaced the loss with, you know, with girlfriends. When I lost one and I would replace one in the past, or, you know, if I lost, you know, wanted to buy a new car, or, you know, there's a lot of replacing the loss that goes on, especially when we're grieving financially. So number three is grieve alone. You know, I don't know if you heard this, but if you want to grieve, go to your room. It was never, I grew up in a household where I'd never seen my dad cry. So I learned that without even hearing those words, because 93%, I believe, of communication is nonverbal and 7% is words. So that was imprinted on me. Number four, just give it time. They say time heals all wounds. That actually is not true. It's the same thing as the analogy of sitting there having a flat tire, looking at your flat tire and waiting for the air to go back in. That doesn't make any sense. It's the same thing as time heals all wounds. And we all know that we still have painful events in our childhood that we're still hurting over. So time does not actually heal all wounds. And number five is be strong for others. I was told that, be strong for others, when you know, when my mother died, I thought, well, I kind of told myself that I need to be strong for my sister. And but I'm sure that you probably have heard this, be strong for others. And how can you be strong for others when you yourself are hurting? You can't be physically there for somebody else. So it's an interesting myth, being strong for others. I grew up, and as I was saying, grew up in street gangs, so you're not supposed to be hurting or showing any signs of weakness. And the last myth is keep busy. And that's another thing, is like, well, just keep busy, keep it out of your mind, and just keep busy. And so you have all these myths, and I was very busy, actually, when I was grieving throughout my life. There's one time I had four different jobs. I just didn't want to deal with my life. So you have these six. Don't feel bad. Replace the loss. Grieve alone. Just give it time. Be strong for others, and keep busy. So these are belief systems and myths that we have in our head, and whenever we feel something, grief, automatically we start to coach ourselves to not feel bad automatically. So these are the myths, and there's also what we call intellectual comments, which, you know, there's about 122 comments that is made when somebody grieves. Out of those 122, guess how many of those are actually useful for the griever? 10%. 10. That's 12, mm-hmm. Only 12. It's not much. So we hear things like intellectual comments, which actually in grief recovery we talk about, you know, the brain is the wrong tool to heal the heart. It's like painting a room with a hammer. Good luck with that, right? So because we use our brain and we say things like intellectual comments like he's in a better place or she's in a better place, which does not help the griever. It could be maybe a religious belief, but it does not help the person that's grieving. Or we hear things like, you always have another son. Or God won't mm-hmm. give you more than you can handle, right? Or pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Or you heard it at the playground, boys or girls don't cry. We even have songs about that. Mm-hmm. So what do we do with all that? You know, so, what do we do once we have all this? So go for it, Amy.
So I just have a couple of points, and then I'm good. Yeah, what do we do? Like, when my husband died when I was 35, and I heard a lot, oh, you're young, you'll get remarried. And, okay, that's great, but that doesn't help me deal with this loss. And so much of it is people can't deal with their own losses, so they want to move you forward as fast as they can because that's making them look at their own. And I want to make a comment about the keeping busy. I think I just had a major aha. I know I have a work addiction, and a large part of it is unresolved grief throughout my lifetime, and that's how I did it. Now that's part of my work, is helping certainly myself, but helping others with work addiction. So I think there's a lot of offshoots that come from not dealing with grief that we don't really realize that we need to look at in lots of different ways.
Absolutely. I completely agree, and I think I want to give you back the mic so you could maybe share your experience, because what I just basically shared is the myths and some of the belief system, and you've been through the program, and so maybe you want to share how that affected you, because obviously we don't have enough time to go into the whole program, but just wanted to give people some education and what's happening right now. And wouldn't you agree that a lot of people are grieving and they're responding in the wrong way, which is called, which if we have a little bit of time, I could go into disturbing, which is a short-term energy-relieving behavior, because emotions are energy. It's, so it's something we do to replace the grief, food, alcohol, drugs, anger, exercise, fantasy, movies, isolation, sex, shopping, workaholism, gambling, sleeping. These are all activity that we do to overcome our grief. It's trying to relieve it, but it doesn't do anything, but it makes us closer to an explosion. A lot of anger right now because people are trying to relieve their grief. That's not the best way to do it. So that's just a little bit of it, but go ahead, go share with us your experience and everything, and I'm going to be quiet.
You're great. And this is really amazing. And again, a lot of people need to know this information. So for me, again, back to one of the myths is it just takes time. Well, my husband Tom died in 91, and I was burning out counselors. I was not getting the help that I needed, and I tried everything. And I got my master's in spiritual psychology, and certainly that helped, but there was still something missing. And so after I graduated, I stumbled onto the Grief Recovery Handbook. I don't even know how I found it, but I did. And so I did it myself, and that was great. And I realized that I could only push myself so far, that I couldn't go too far beyond my wounding in order to really help myself. So I found Eileen Joyce, a good friend of ours, that is a grief recovery specialist. And she worked with me, and it allowed me to really go deeper and really trust her to be my guide. And so I was able to go places I couldn't have gone by myself. And I got my husband to do it also with Eileen. And it was so interesting because, he said, well, okay. He acquiesced and said, I'll do it for you. And she was like, oh, no, he needs to do it for himself. And I said, trust me, he's not going to do it unless it is for himself. He'll may say that it's for me. So women hear this. A lot of times you're going to get men to do it. They'll start out doing it for you, but once they get in there, like you said, you did it for your wife, right? Once you get in there, they're not going to continue unless they really start doing it for themselves. So, and also you can do it in a group format. So you could maybe start with a book like I did, but for me, what I found was I couldn't go that far by myself, and a group is another option.
Yeah, Mickey, can you talk a little bit about, because that's one thing that Mickey does, is he helps to facilitate groups with the Cope Recovery Program.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Amy, for sharing that. And, yeah, I do one-on-ones, or I facilitate groups. Some people work better one-on-one, and some people work better in groups. And the grief recovery, it's and I'll give the name of the book. It's called The Grief Recovery Handbook. And the author is John James and Russell Friedman, very good friends of ours. And, they basically, it's all over. If you just, look around your area, there's probably a program that's there. It's just phenomenal. So I do it. I do one-on-ones, and I also do it in groups as well. So, yeah, that's what I do. Obviously, if you need my information, and I'm sure that you can get a hold of anybody here, and I'd love to chat with them. And I'm sure I'll be back on the call as well to talk about different issues. But, yeah, that's what it is. Did you want me to – I know we don't have that much time left. Did you want me to go over the disturbing, or did you
let's go ahead and cover that, because we've got about – I think we've got enough time.
So I think when thinking about that, about 6 minutes left, Mickey, what do you think would be the best thing for our listeners – to hear and thinking about, is this for me? What is something? What's an action that they could take even?
That's actually a good question as far as is this for me. I think that after listening to this call, you probably could either relate, you've heard things, and you go, huh, yeah, I do feel this. I do, because I've not done just a talk like that where I haven't had somebody relate to it. I think the first thing that if you could do, it's just really, it's a state of mind to understand that when you're grieving, it's allow yourself to grieve, And yes, you do indeed need to go through a process but just understand that this is normal. And look at a kid, they cry, and the next thing you know, they're happy and running around, right? It's like, so they allow their emotion to process. They don't hold their emotions inside like a processing tank. They don't hold it. They process everything. And the problem is for the election, what I would do is journal. That's what I would do. If I didn't have these tools, what I would do is journal. How did that make you feel? You know, and write everything down. And if you need to, read it to somebody. It's more not beyond the anger is pain. Right, get to the pain. And the pain is usually rooted to something deeper. I always ask myself, why? You know, I'm feeling this, but why? And why? And if I keep hearing why, you will see the more you ask yourself why, it's going to go down all the way to something about you, something that's a deeper grief. Like when people come to my class, they usually come for something different than what they're originally there. And I think, Amy, you know that. Some people come because, well, my son need this. Oh, so-and-so need this. Oh, I just broke up. And they come for one relationship, and then they ended up working with the core relationships, something that really, really started at the root cause. So just know that it's normal and it's natural for you to grieve. And just also know that you need to be listened, not fixed. Okay, a griever needs to be listened to, not fixed. So maybe find a good friend that could listen to you and just say, tell them, hey, listen, I just want to be heard. Just listen to me. And that's all I need you to do. A lot of times that's the best medicine, to be heard. So wouldn't you agree, Amy?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And most people, you know, don't get to see me, hear me, just respect and honor me. And so the best way to do that I is to be listened to.
Absolutely. And we say intimacy is into me see, right? Mm-hmm. So, and one of the things also that I want everybody to understand, especially in what's happening, the short-term energy-relieving behavior. I spoke really fast about that. But these are things that we do to trying to feel better. And there was food, alcohol, drugs, anger, exercise, fantasizing, movies, isolation, shopping, workouts, gambling, looting, what's happening right now. They think it makes them feel better, but it really doesn't. It's just like having a garden and you have weeds growing in the garden. If you just cut the top of it, what was going to happen only a few days later? I remember having a garden. It grows right back. It doesn't even need water. Why? Because we never deal with the root. Well, in grief recovery, that's what we do. We deal with the root. And once you take care of the root system, then you could absolutely unplug. Because what happens when you're stuffing yourself and your emotions, what starts to happen, it starts to build up and build up and build up. And then what happens, what we call it, you go postal, kind of like what's happening now. You know, there's too much energy, and you don't know how to release the energy, and it just goes crazy. So hopefully this helped. I know we're coming up to the hours, and I know you also wanted to end it with a prayer. So I just wanted to make sure we have enough time there. So,
yeah, I just want to jump in a little bit because I'm, you know, we're going to be coming up on, we're doing Codependent No More. It's been a 25-year anniversary. And gosh, you know, hearing this is the first time I've really heard a lot of information about the grief recovery program and how much that should be such an intertwined process that goes along with 12 step to me. Because, I mean, it just makes perfect sense that if you don't understand these things on a certain level, not that 12 step doesn't have a lot of really good aspects of itself away with good tools and things like that, but just have this awareness of, like, where's all that sadness and my seeking to process stuff coming from? You know, it really helps to unravel things very quickly when you understand it in a different level and how society perpetuates a lot of the stuff when it comes to grief and how people get to, you know, stuck in these processes. Yeah, so it's anything else you guys want to share before Mickey does this wonderful prayer?
Well, I'd like Mickey to give his contact information, how we can get with him, and then this wonderful prayer, please.
Absolutely. There's two ways you could go in. You could email me, which is mickey.wade@gmail.com. It's mikki.wade@gmail.com. And or you could call me at 818-826-6555. 818-826-6555. And then just give me some time to get back to you. I do get a lot of calls. So, but let's go ahead and it's this is recorded, so they could obviously get back on this. So should we go ahead and pray?
Let's do it.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Awesome. Well, Father, I want to come to you right now and thank you so much for, first of all, you gave us a heart. You gave us a heart of, with emotions. You gave us everything we have, God. And you're there and you listen to every little inch of pain and you mend those pain, Father. You see and you said that every teardrop, you count them. Every hair, every pieces of air in our head, that you know it. And you feel and you cry with us. You hurt with us, Dad. I pray, Father, that we can connect with you more. I pray, Dad, that in this nation, Father, that we can look at each other and see the humanity in each other, Father, to see the little boys and girls that within each other that are crying, that are hurting, Dad. Help us, help love to overcome all this grief, Father. Help people to have a glance of what it is to have peace with you, Father. Bring peace, and I know you're so powerful that you could bring peace to every heart, that tonight, that all this nation has so much peace, and they allow themselves to grieve and understand that it is not about what's going on around them, but it is about something deeper, and that you want to bring the peace of their heart back together. God, I thank you so much for this time. Thank you for Robin and Amy putting these shows together, putting this radio show, Father. I pray that this radio show has impacted somebody, and I pray that somebody tonight, today or this morning, whenever they listen to, they could mend their hearts, heal their hearts, so they could love again, so they could live again. We love you so much. We thank you. It is in your precious Son we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.